Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside CEO of The Wine Growers, Krista Cruz. We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
And I'm dancing to the song. We were talking about dancing before we came on air.
It's a good danceable one.
It's a really good danceable one.
Yeah, we got Airheads. We got Coke bottles in the house. So
it's perfect.
We're sugared up.
I'm already sugared up. There's no doubt. Yeah, I've never had Airhead Bites. The verdict's still out on those.
All right. Well, if they're looking to sponsor a show,
then I would love them very much.
Then we highly recommend
them. They're my favorite candy
highly.
Ever.
Oh, incredible. Yes. What else is going on that
coming up
good
here?
Good.
Yeah. What's the good stuff?
Yeah. What's the good stuff? What's happening?
The good stuff on the good stuff. Well, so much. We're super excited. We are hosting, gosh, I don't even know what year it is. It'd be maybe our 8th or 9th Guild Psalm Top Psalm trip that comes to Sonoma County, which
so
is really fun.
Fun.
We work with the Guild Psalm organization. They are a member-based sort of wine education. They have, gosh, I want to say over 12,000 members around the world that sort of log in to get, you know, downloads on wine regions and growing and viticulture and wine making and wine. And we do a lot with Guild Psalm. And in the spring, every year, they offer a quiz that they right from scratch. This one had 70 different questions, and the top 15 score getters win a trip to come to Sonoma County and be immersed in all things grape growing and winemaking and wine drinking and hospitality in Sonoma County.
Are the questions,
so they're coming.
Is the quiz about Sonoma County?
It's more broad. It's a little broader.
Okay, but they need to come here and learn everything.
Yes, the reward is coming here. And we have played with the schedule a little bit. We've moved it around, but we are firmly now doing the trip during harvest so they can get out and actually have a harvest experience. Which
will it still be
so
harvest?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, you know, we're like a week away, so it's still going on. But yeah, we always plan. We do have grape camp coming up in October, which we also want to do a harvest experience. That one might be a little trickier.
Yeah, you might have to put some grapes back on the vines.
Yes, or leave a row.
Yeah, leave
somewhere.
Leave a row and lots of tanks to clean.
And lots of tanks. Instead of stomping, you will be cleaning.
Yeah.
So fun. But yeah, it's super fun. We love having guests come. And what's really great is it's always a little bit of a who's going to sign up to take the quiz, who's going to be the top scorers. And it's just such a range of people. And we've also had folks do the quiz internationally and then come in from Germany or France or Spain or Canada or Mexico. And so
many places.
Yeah. So it's really, really fun immersion. And so, like I said, we'll get them out. They do a little bit of seminars where they get to try a lot of different wines. They go out and do our famous truck talks. where they go out with our growers and go literally drink wine from the place, the vineyard where it was grown. And then they also get to do a harvest experience, kind of follow grapes to a crush pad, experience that. So much fun stuff.
Okay, and that's 15 top scorers coming to Sonoma County and had to answer 70 questions.
I know.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Okay, we should take the quiz just for fun.
I think I'd probably do terrible. If it's all Sonoma County, I might do okay, but
okay. Well, we could do it together.
Okay, there. Oh, I like that.
All right. Well, we will be right back on today's Good Stuff with our guests. Joining us on today's Good Stuff in studio, we have two guests, Duff Bevel, founder, partner, Bevel Vineyard Management, and Nick Fry, former president, Sonoma County Wine Growers, founding leader of the Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission, and brand ambassador for Belletto. Just a few things.
I was going to say, for a long time, I was known as the new Nick, and now I think 14 years in, you're the old Carissa.
I think so.
Is that how that works?
The old fits.
Hey now. I'll keep the new. How
okay.
about that?
Yeah, you can keep the new. So give us a little bit, Carissa, you know these guys very well. You've worked with them for a long time in different capacities. So give us the, you know, the quick
I was going to say, well, Nick hired me, but Duff was the final vote yes on hiring me. So, I mean, these two gentlemen are incredibly important in my life. So
yeah. So
what else do you need to know? We're good. That's the show.
That's very yes. Thanks for joining us. That's it. Okay. Well, from each of your perspectives, then let's get a little bit into your backgrounds before we talk about the formation of the Wine Grape Commission, because that's part of the reason that we wanted you on was to. It's 20 years. Is that
it's
right?
20 years.
20 years
officially.
Since it was founded? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
It is a long time.
Maybe we start with you, Nick. I mean, tell us a little bit about your background in Sonoma County.
Well, I came here in 1999 to work for the Sonoma County Grape Growers Association. Before that, I lived in Iowa and worked for a seed company there, Pioneer Hybrid International, for 25 years.
Wow. Okay. So. What brought you to California? Was it specifically that job?
Yes.
Okay. But talk a little bit. How did you, because I remember there was a story about how you even found it, did the interview. I mean, come on. There's some good stories there.
Yeah, he was trying to be brief.
I know. We're not allowing that. No.
We traveled here, my wife and I, for several years, and all up and down California, but we kept coming back to Sonoma County.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in a joint venture, and that wasn't a lot of fun. So I decided if I could find a job where I wanted to live, I'd do that. And this is where we wanted to live. And I called a couple of people, and Bernard Porte was one, and, you know, said, if you're interested in the industry, any suggestions? And he said, Wine Country Classifieds is the industry rag. So I subscribed to that, and the Sonoma County Grape Growers Association had an ad, and I applied, and made it some through the chain of command and came out for an interview, and they ended up hiring me. So
talk about that interview, because I would have failed the final interview because I have no sense of direction. So we'll start with that. So.
Well, it was the preliminary phone interview. Oh. Everybody else, I think they interviewed 10 people. I was probably 11. I think I kind of held me in, not knowing why. But they asked, they said that Tim Tesconi, who was the ag writer at the time, said he got a call from a lady, and she said that the grape grower next door sprayed 2,4-D on the vineyard, and it drifted over to my property. She says, what would you say to that? I said, well, obviously there's a misunderstanding, because grape growers don't use 2,4-D. You know, it would kill grapes. So they all laughed, and after that, then they invited me out for an in-person interview.
Okay, so what, was it meant to be a trick question?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And evidently, I was the only one that got it.
That's impressive.
Well, if you've been...
I wouldn't have gotten it, but I would have been like, let me tell you how to buy 30-second commercials.
No, but that's so interesting.
Right?
That was the process, and you totally passed.
But, but talk about, wasn't it your, didn't they have you driving around for like your final round?
Because
this was the other part I would have failed.
Like a treasure hunt?
I would not have gotten the job that was offered to Nick, just for to be completely clear.
Yeah, the interview was, we met out at the time, the Wine Center in Roanoke Park, and four board members came. And two were in the front of the Suburban, two were in the back, and they wanted my wife to be in on the interview, so my wife and I were in the middle. And we went from vineyard to vineyard. So started in Russian River, we ended up in Dry Creek, and actually Duff took us up to a wonderful vineyard at the top of the hill.
Down the valley.
The Vogensen Vineyard, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then we went over to Jim Young's, and we stopped at the Alexander Browder store for lunch. But we were done at Jim Young's, and they said, well, let's see, how do we get back to Roanoke Park? So we'll just go down here and take Chalk Hill Road, and you'll drop you out, and it'll be right there. So that's the way we went.
Okay.
Because I was familiar with the roads. We'd been here enough to know a lot of the way around. So
incredible.
Yeah, and I still use my GPS to get to some of the vineyards, I'm just going to be honest. So I would not,
you had to know your way around for sure.
Yes.
There weren't as many wineries and vineyards, right?
So no, but there are several.
And
we'd been to several of them over the years.
Okay.
So it was it wasn't unfamiliar territory.
Yeah. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
You were the right choice.
Well, it worked out for me.
So maybe we bring Duff in now.
So
you were already growing grapes at this point in Dry Creek Valley. Tell us a little bit about that.
I moved to Sonoma County, but specifically Dry Creek Valley, and I never left. That was in March of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been 53 years.
Yeah.
And I worked for a fellow named Joe Vogelson, who I worked for about 3 years, and then there was a little recession. It was 1975, 76, and put a little, you know, crimp on the vineyard management company arena at that time. And so I bounced around for about 2 weeks and got a phone call and went, worked for another grower in the valley for about a year. And then shortly after that, I got a call from Dry Creek Vineyards, from the cellar master at Dry Creek Vineyards, who had worked for Dave, you know, at the time was working for Dave Stair. And I went to work for them, and we still managed all of Dry Creek's vineyards after all these years. And the fellow who I moved here to work for, Joe Vogelson, his son was 9 months old at the time, was sitting on a blanket, being sunning himself with mom, and Matt now as a grown up is now a partner of mine in the management
that
company.
That little baby, that's amazing.
But Jeff, you're leaving out the best part of your story. This is the good stuff show. So right, you were in Redding.
Yeah.
And how'd you get to Sonoma County? I mean, well, you grew up in Southern California and then ended up in Redding.
So you missed
a couple steps here.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Southern California and was exposed to agriculture from the old farmer who sold the 600-acre parcel to a developer. And my family and one other family in the neighborhood remained friends with that old farmer during the 1950s until about 1962. And so I was exposed to agriculture in that way. And then my dad had an opportunity to start his second career, and he went to Redding. I couldn't wait to get out of Southern California, so I chased him up there. My mom stayed for 2 more years until she retired as a teacher, and then she retired to Redding with my dad. But when I was there, continued taking agricultural classes at the community college, and then decided one day that I was done. I just wanted to go work in ag. And so one of my horticulture instructors put me in touch with his old college buddy, Joe Vogelson, and I came over for an interview on a Wednesday morning, and I moved the following Monday morning.
Okay. And where did you live,
and
Doc?
Where did I live for the next 2 weeks? Well, I was promised a place on one of the ranches, like which was basically one of the farm worker help houses, like a single family little cabin type of thing. When I got here, he said, "Yeah, it didn't work out." I said, "Well, that's fine," because I was driving a Volkswagen van at the time. And I said, "Well, can I just park by your barn? I'll just sleep in my van until I find a place to live." So I lived on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for about 2 weeks, living in the van and going to work every day, working, well, at the time, close to 7 days a week. And, I did that for 2 years. Yeah. But, yeah, the van until I found a place to stay, and that evolved. I finally found better places to stay. But yeah, the van was my home for a couple of weeks. Yeah.
Do you still have the van?
No, I sold it to one of the neighbors up in the valley. I hear it's still in Healdsburg somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a rumor. The myth of the van.
And the van is still in Healdsburg somewhere. I've never seen it since.
You were like van life before that was a trend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
He is the OG.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
But it never occurred to me to go back. I mean, it was like I didn't, you know, become depressed and drive back home.
Yeah. You just figured it out.
Well, there's no turning back. Yeah.
Well, that was point. Really good practice for becoming a farmer where, things changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, unpredictable.
Yeah. Just
and you got to solve a new problem.
Adjust to it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you've been doing that since.
Yeah, exactly.
But Dry Creek, so you arrive in Dry Creek and you're still, I mean, it must have held, like, what did you love so much about it?
Still remember driving here that Wednesday morning for the interview, coming through what you take Highway 20 over from Interstate 5, take 20 over the hill, and then coming in on 128 into Geyserville. And I remember stopping at the local watering hole there, which is gone now, right on the corner of Canyon Road and the old Redwood Highway, and walking into this bar at roughly noontime, and there's like 10. As it turns out, old farmers all sitting there at Nando's Market or Nando's Bar, who I didn't know at the time. And when I walked in, but at the time I had earrings and ponytails. So
I don't know if I've seen that photo.
Yeah, there's a couple photos. Anyways, I remember walking in and 10 heads all turned and stared at me as I came in looking for directions to Joe Vogelson's ranch. And Nando, the guy who owned the bar, knew exactly where to go. He said, "Oh, you got to go over Canyon Road or to Dry Creek Road, then West Dry Creek." And that's what went my way. So, but I remember coming into the Dry Creek Valley at the corner of Canyon Road and Dry Creek Road.
Gorgeous.
And the whole, all I could see were trees. I didn't know what they were at the time, in full white bloom. It was the prune trees in Dry Creek Valley. Mm. And the windows were down, and all you could smell was this fragrance in the air. So that was my first impression of Dry Creek.
Yeah. That's a pretty good impression.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was wonderful.
Love at first sight.
Oh, yeah. I knew that was where I wanted to be. When I drove home, I said, this is where I want to be, yeah. And I knew nothing about grapes. I couldn't name you a grape varietal.
So you would have failed the test that you put Nick through to get the job.
What's that?
You would have failed the test that you Nick through to get the job.
Well, I would have gotten the 2,4-D right, probably.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. I'd love to know kind of both your perspectives just on like what, you know, those early days, like what was the wine scene like? Like what, you know, it was probably still pretty small.
Well, when I came here in 99, the Grape Growers Association was a membership dues organization, and we were to promote the region, and our budget was minuscule. And I think by 99, we might have been up to $150,000.
How many members?
We were over 300 by then.
That's okay. Out of 1,800.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And when I came, we were short of that.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, we looked around at all the competing wine regions and what they were spending, and several, Napa, even Central Coast were over $1 million. Hmm. Oregon had a commission statewide. There were a lot of people that had $1 million or more, and we had 100 or 150,000 at the most. So we talked about forming a commission, but they'd had a commission vote before I got here, and I think it was probably in the 90s. Could have been the late 80s.
Early 90s, I think.
Early 90s, yeah. And it failed. So we did a survey of growers to see who would be, would you be interested in a commission? And between all those that said they were and all the undecided, we might have been able to get 50%.
Oh, wow.
I mean, close.
Uh-huh.
So obviously we weren't ready. So then we started doing things. We voted, or we have Dollars and Cents, which is our seminar every year. And we brought Roger Wassum from the Almond Board and talked about the Almond Board.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, we brought Mark Chandler from Lodi, talked about the Lodi Grape Commission. And we talked about what other people were spending and what we were spending, dollars and cents, to how to be competitive. And after, I think it was 2 or 3 years, then we decided we're going to go for a commission. And Duff was president at the time. And he was really the force that said, now's the time, let's go do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Nick and I went out, and I didn't realize it until that point, it then became a political campaign.
Yeah.
You had to go out there and knock on doors, so to speak. And we met with the local AVAs and tried to convince them, and took a lot of flack, stand up there and have the arrows slinging at you, you know.
And we should just mention, so the benefit of commission before we take a quick break is that once the growers vote through a referendum process, that means all the growers pay an assessment. So you go from having 300 members that are voluntary to 1,800 that then are all sort of paying their fair share collectively to market the region.
Right. So. And that's part of the hesitation, I imagine, is the assessment. So.
Yeah, exactly. You only get to opt in or out once every 5 years, but if the collective majority wants to keep it, you're part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, we will take a quick break, and we will come right back on to talk more with Duff and Nick. Duff Bevel, founder, partner of Bevel Vineyard Management, and Nick Fry, former president, Sonoma County Wine Growers, founding leader of the Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission, also brand ambassador for Belletto. But we're talking a lot about the beginning of the Wine Grape Commission and having to go door to door and really talk to people and assuage their concerns. Yeah. So, Carissa, you happen to notice that like some of the other regions were had formed a Wine Grape Commission 10 years earlier or so.
Yeah, what I think is super interesting, though, is that no, it's still been consistently like Sonoma and Lodi. I guess Mendocino had a commission for a while that went out. They got voted out in right around the time I started, right before I started, I think 2010 or 11.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they.
But no one else. I mean, there's a lot of, obviously, there's a lot of wine regions. It's kind of a surprise that, but it does, I would say it does speak to how collective and collaborative our growers are here in Sonoma County.
So a wine grape commission, does it have to be, you have to be a wine grower to be a member? And the assessment is based on your
grape sales? Yeah, you have to sell, you know, sell commercially. In other words, receive money for your crop. And the break point is 25 tons. Everybody pays into it. And if you produce less than 25 tons, you can request a refund for on your assessment. And I honestly don't think anyone does, do they? Or very few.
No, but some don't pay. We don't collect typically
because
of less
size.
Than 25 tons.
Okay,
people just don't pay at all. Yeah.
Okay, so that's how
track that.
That's how it works out. And there's a lot of governance around how the commission is run, correct?
Yeah, technically it's under the Ag Department. It's a state. Mm-hmm. So there's reporting to them. And they usually, I don't know if they still do, but we had somebody from CDFA would attend our meetings from time to time.
Still do. Mm-hmm. Still do. Yeah.
Every meeting.
Every meeting.
I don't know if it used to be time to time, but it's every meeting now. I don't know.
I don't think they came every time early days.
The Zoom makes it, online makes it a lot easier now because they can sit in on Zoom.
That's what I forgot. They used to come in person.
Yeah. No, they used to come in person.
Yeah.
That was a CDFA. So we have to post agendas publicly 10 days before we do meetings. And the public has, even though we're not publicly funded, it acts like a public entity, even though it's grower dollars. So sometimes people get confused about that.
Well, I always refer to a quasi-government agency because it's both those things.
Yeah, it's tricky when you try to find the box to check on what is the entity on a form. You're like, well, we're not an LLC. We're not really a corporation. But actually, we can say we're a corporation, I guess, as of the latest. You do a vote, which California Department of Food and Agriculture actually runs the voting process, the referendum, and they collect the ballots. And it has to be approved 51%, so majority. Well,
actually,
the first time, actually, it was steeper, right?
51% of the voters.
Yep.
Or 51% of the acreage or the grape sales.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and you have to have both.
Okay.
Or maybe if you get one, you don't have to have the other. I can't remember. But at any rate, those two things are what are in the the voting.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I recall, our first vote, and I think it's been true the last two or three, for sure the first one, it was the highest number of support of any commission in California.
Yeah. I think we've been continuing.
It's hard to believe that beat the almond guys, but it was a big number. It was a huge 90% or 89%.
I think the first one was like 75, but the second one was 90.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that was a
and
everyone
since, I think, has been close to that.
I was going to say, we've been trained, I think, 86 and 90% since.
Imagine that, running up a politician getting 80 or 90% of the vote. So
what do you think made the difference?
But wait, it still bugs me when people vote no, though. I want to go talk to them.
go back to the door-to-door. Like, what is the problem here? Yeah, but what do you think in that, that moment in time made the difference to get that kind of support? Was it, I mean, clearly you were putting a lot of effort into that.
Well, I remember one at Dollar Wells when I was the head of grape growers, and it was my job along with Nick to each of us or both of us to give some sort of a welcoming presentation, and I remember asking a group of, there's 400, it was winery and grower people in the audience, and I remember asking, pitching that idea, and I remember asking everybody, raise your hand if you have a budget for marketing, and like three people raised their hands and 400 people there. I said, exactly, that was my point. You guys know you aren't marketing your grapes You know, you make some phone calls to see who's buying. You call a winery that you know or something like that. But as far as marketing, none of us were doing it. No one was doing it individually. So that was one of the concepts that we reminded everybody of when we went to all the different meetings and try to get them on board.
And I mean, 20 years later, thanks to both of you. I mean, the Wine Growers, the Wine Grape Commission, has been one of the most stable organizations promoting the county.
Well, it's known internationally too now.
Yeah.
So they both.
I want to go back a little bit. So, I apply for the job. So it would have been in 2012, a marketing director. And so I meet with Nick. That goes well, and we are very different skill sets, obviously. But it was a marketing director role, so that made sense. My background in marketing, but then Duff missed or came in late to the kind of. I was like a round table. I mean, back then, you guys put everyone through the ringer for interviews. It was like I was like, you're going to meet with 15 growers in a panel discussion and the head of Sonoma County Vintners, and we're all going to weigh in on what we think of you. So it was intense. But Duff, then what happened? Because you were late.
I was late. I think we're interviewing three people, and you were the first. And I got there about the last 10 minutes before your interview was over. I think it all lasted like half hour, 40 minutes, maybe something like that.
To Carissa, it felt like an eternity.
Yeah, sure. Sounds like.
Anyway, so.
I just had to talk fast.
So I got there, and they were wrapping up. And it was you, Rich Mounts? Who else was there?
I think
Chuck was there.
Chuck, for sure.
Vicki Michael Chuck.
Oh, was it Vicki was there?
Yeah.
Honor was in the room. Who else? There was other folks in there.
Anyway, so I got there and sat through the other interviews, and we all at the end of the interview, after all three of you had gone through, everybody sort of felt that you were the one, but they wanted me. They told me that I needed to go meet with you to ask more questions because I didn't have the chances. So you and I set up a coffee meeting in Windsor at the Starbucks in Windsor.
No, in Hillsburg.
Was it Hillsburg?
In Hillsburg, off by close to, I don't even think the coffee shop's there anymore. It was kind of across from Gallo's building up there.
Oh, maybe. Oh, okay. So anyways, we got there at 9 o'clock, and I figured half hour, 45 minutes. So I think 11:30. So you got there at 9, 11:30. We all decided we better call it a day and move on with the rest of our days.
Or move into lunch.
Or move into lunch, right. So I learned about her dairy experiences, marketing with a group back out of Wisconsin.
Chicago was where their headquarters were.
So that was it. So I got back my pickup truck and sent everybody a text or an email and said, I'm in. I vote yes. And that was it.
Yeah. And that was it.
and then Nick told me it'd be the best job I would ever have.
That's right. So. It's the best job I ever had.
Yeah.
Not many jobs you have that somebody that works you're working for comes up and tells you appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
I worked in corporate America for 25 years. Didn't have
they that, don't say thank
that
you
happen
a lot.
Too often.
Yeah, not a lot of thank yous. I would.
And he was right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He gets full credit. Yeah. He was definitely right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, incredible. So what, remind me what year that was.
That was in 2013?
2013, I retired.
12 that I took the marketing
job. Well, you took a
job,
and then I retired in 13. And I retired at 65. I could get Medicare, which helped. But I thought we ought to have somebody in at least a year before the growers had to vote. Because we were in year four, so I retired in May. So I was there 14 years.
Okay.
Still put me through a rigorous interview process to take over for Nick. So we can talk about that after the break.
Okay.
We'll be right back on the good stuff.
Okay.
Duff Bevel, founder, partner, Bevel Vineyard Management, Nick Fry, president, former president of Sonoma County Wine Growers and founding leader of Sonoma County Wine Grape Commission. There were so many words. But, you know, 20 years later, the Wine Grape Commission, like, what do you look back on and feel are some of the, like, the key achievements, some of the things that you're most proud of?
Well, I think, to me, well, so we're still in business 20 years later, you know, hopefully there's another 20 in the
That's
future.
Good. Right.
You know, providing the marketing story of Sonoma County mm-hmm. wines and wine grapes. So that's a big deal. I mean, I don't know what it would have been without it. Everybody would have been, I don't know. And it's tough right now because the economy's, you know, pressure on all of us in this industry right now, the wine industry. Mm-hmm. So without the commission, it'd be tougher. You know, it's tough right now. I think we're on kind of on par with prohibition, not just an economic cycle. Without it, there wouldn't be a common voice, mm-hmm. you know, a unified voice and unified message. So,
right. Strength in numbers.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that when I came, I was housed with the vintners, and that was a Pete O'Patz push. Hmm. And before that, actually, the executive directors of the vintners and the grape growers didn't have much in common. Mm-hmm. So once we had money, collaboration was a lot mm-hmm. easier.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we all of a sudden now we were a player, and it brought people together that didn't work. Honor Comfort was my counterpart with the vintners. Ken Fashong was at the Tourism Bureau. Mm-hmm. And by cooperating, we could actually leverage the grower money with the vintner and the tourism to do more things and to do them in a maybe a little different or broader fashion than anybody going alone could do. So I think that was the key thing that I was proud of of an outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. When I started, we had just launched the official trio, the Vintners Tourism and Wine Growers and the new brand mark. And
yeah.
And that stayed connected, and I think, until tourism started making changes to the brand mark in 17 and kind of went in a different direction. So, but I was observing, Nick, so you spent 14 years, and mm-hmm. I hit 14 years in September.
Oh, no kidding.
Which it was supposed to be like a 2 or 3 year gig. And here I am. So I don't know what it is about the Wine Grape Commission or the wine growers, but
yeah,
pretty special.
Well, it's the community that has been formed,
for sure.
Too. I mean, I would imagine that the commission really brought a lot of diverse growing regions together, a lot of sharing of resources and information mm-hmm. and the budget to maybe bring in people that could consult on things, certainly the partnerships with Deer and the likes.
Oh, yeah, all that's how it proved successful. I just reminded of a comment Nick and I were talking in that deciding whether to offer you the job. And one of us, I'm not going to point fingers, said, well, maybe we're lucky enough to keep her for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
And I said, you think? And he said, yeah, 5 years probably.
Yeah. Well, I think
so. You made your 5 year.
I guess yeah. I check that box. Well, I think what's been great, and I mean Nick saw the wisdom in it very early, but the growers are some of the most innovative men and women in the wine industry, mm-hmm. and have been so supportive. I would say of us being able to reinvent what we do and push the envelope on what we do. So I don't think the organization looks the same as it did in 1999. It doesn't look the same as it did in 2006, and it probably doesn't look the same as it did in 2016 or even 5 years ago, because as we evolve and the economy evolves and the market evolves, it's different partners and it's different messaging, and it's, but sort of the foundation of it is still the farmers. Hmm. So
yeah, all the partnerships, you know, that wasn't happening before, you know, so all those are positive. Partnership Ford and John Deere and
Giants and Landry's.
The others.
And all
yeah, absolutely. Right. And you know, that's marketing, you know, that's marketing wine, yeah. which mm-hmm. sells our grapes. You know, so.
But I remember when I was going to get promoted, I remember sitting with Charles Karen and Steve San Giacomo, and I'm like, you have to really decide, because Nick is a PhD in plant science and I'm an MBA in marketing. The two are very far apart on the spectrum. Yeah. And everyone loved Nick, and he did such a great job of building the organization. So it was like, but are you ready for a marketer to lead the organization? Because it's going to look different than what Nick's leadership was. And so I think on so many levels. So they said yes. So there you go. But here I am.
Well, and if things don't change, you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's right.
I mean, evolution, you better be evolving in a positive direction. And that's, you know, I think that's the key. That's an expectation.
Yeah, well, Nick spent so much of his time for a period there defending us that we weren't industrial farmers. You know, that was that was a big deal for a number of years. Oh, it was just, it was a fight all the time, going to city council meetings and, you know, just under attack a lot because I think people looked out their windows and saw a successful industry. Yeah. And I don't know if they resented us or what, I don't know, but you spent a lot of time just countering the attacks. Yeah.
Well, with that, sadly, we have to say thank you for thank you for joining us. I mean, what incredible story!
And thank you for my job.
You're welcome.
Most importantly.
Yes. All right. Well, thanks again to Nick and Duff for joining us today and talking about the Wine Grape Commission's early days and the future.
20 years in.
Great.
Today's good stuff. Carissa, what a great piece of history.
It's not cool. I mean, I literally, well, there's a whole nother show we could do on just my whole interview process.
It sounds like.
But I do remember the recruiter called me and was like, they now want you to meet with Duff for coffee. And I was like, is this an interview or like... you got to like prepare me a little bit. Like, right, what am I walking into? Yeah. But Duff and I covered everything from like Harvard Business Review, dairy management, my time at Honey Nut Cheerios to Brand Week to how do we market the region. Mm-hmm. Like I said, as he mentioned, 2.5 hours later, it was.
And you've remained close. I mean, he's been a very instrumental part of all things grape growers.
Yeah. And just has been an incredible sounding board for me for years, as has Nick. I mean, it was nice. And Nick, when I did get promoted, he was still, I want to say, available and supporting and answering questions and helping me transition for months. So that was really, really nice.
Okay. Well.
I know.
Good conversation, good history, lots to talk about. What are you going to drink, though?
Well, I think I should do a little bit of a tribute. Nick never made wine. Maybe he made home wine, but I don't think he ever made commercial wine. Mm-hmm. But a throwback to Duff in his early days with Dave Stair at Dry Creek Vineyard. I'm going to have one of their Sauv Blancs, kind of round out the summer.
So, okay.
How's that?
Just one of their Sauv Blancs. Yeah. I like that. It's very vague.
Well, they have some. Well, currently their release is the 2024, so if we're going to get specific. Mm-hmm. But I was actually debating because they also have a 2025 dry Chenin Blanc. That's sort of interesting. I don't know. They're doing a lot of cool stuff, but I really do. My first Dry Creek Vineyard wine was actually their Fumé Blanc, but mm-hmm. I like the Christmas of the Sauv Blanc. So that's what I'm doing.
And you have a relationship with, I mean, the Stair family lives very near you.
Dave is now my next door neighbor over in West County. So, you know, both of us were impacted by the fires back in 2017 and ended up neighbors now, which is great.
Yeah, him
and
his, small world.
Him and his wife, Lee, they're awesome. Literally, we share a fence line. So, okay, but enough about that. So maybe I should invite him over for a glass of his own wine on Tuesday night.
Maybe.
I mean, that seems like the nice thing to do.
It does. Yeah, just pass it over the fence.
So what are you doing?
I'm going with something I wrote about a little while ago, a 2025 Hannah Grillo.
Oh.
From also Dry Creek, but Dry Creek Mountain Vineyard, which I think is an estate vineyard for Hannah. Huh.
Nice.
And a few years back, they started sort of experimenting with Grillo, which is a Sicilian white grape variety.
Cool. So I haven't had that.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's
something
really
different.
Fun. Yeah.
And I think it's worked really well, and they are going to plant, I think the plan is a little bit more.
That's great. Well, and Duff and Bevel Vineyard Management's also, they farm for Hannah. And
well, maybe they're
Creek.
The ones that actually planted.
So they probably
the
are the ones that planted. Maybe we should get Duff back in to talk about that.
Yeah, tell us everything about that you know about Grillo, which is probably not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, something different.
Something different.
Goes to show all the different things that can be grown here.
I do have to say it was so nice having Nick and Duff in and talking about the good old days and the transition. It truly has been a dream job and job of a lifetime. So I feel very, very honored that I get to do this work.
Yeah. Well, and if anybody wants to find out more, SonomaWineGrape.org is where everything lives, or you can email info@SonomaWineGrape.org.
And check out all the good stuffs.
Oh, that's true.
Written and recorded.
There you go. That's where they all live. Well, until then.
Yes.
That was fun. From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
A big cheers to that.